Matthew 25, verse 31 to 46.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to see everyone here today. Welcome, especially if it's your first time today. Welcome if you've come for the Family Fun Day. Whether or not you have kids, it's great that you can come here, and I hope you can stay back afterwards. And for the people who come regularly, hopefully you know already we've been working our way through Matthew's Gospel. And if you're not a regular, we're actually dealing with a little bit of a sobering topic. And so we're honing down on something which is quite serious. And I guess it's just because we're working our way through Matthew. And today we land on Matthew chapter 25. Back when I was in my last year of university, for one of the subjects that I was studying, in the final exam, the lecturer actually gave us all the questions that were going to be in that final examination. They gave us all the questions. And so, she gave us 108 different questions. And out of the 108, 5 of them were going to be in the test. Actually, I think there was 8 of them were going to be in the test. We had to write answers for 5 of them. So, she actually told us what was going to be in the test. And in some ways, that was great. It was actually really good to know what was going to be in the exam, what we were going to be tested on. In a sense, it was like a sneak peek, a preview at the test. And so a group of us, our study group, there was 5 or 6 of us, we got together and we wrote study papers. You know, we weren't cheating, that's what we were supposed to do, right? And so we wrote 1-page summaries for each of those questions. So that no matter what 8 questions were actually in the test, we knew how to answer it. You know, we were ready for it. It was great having this sneak peek, it was great having a preview, knowing ahead of time what was going to happen, because it meant we could be ready when the test came. Here in Matthew chapter 25, God gives us a sneak peek. He gives us a preview into the future. He tells us this is what the future is going to look like, what's going to happen on the judgment day, the most important day that there is, when all of us stands in front of Jesus in the heavenly courts. And he tells us this so that we can be ready. Why don't we pray as we take a look at God's word together? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us to look at your word here in Matthew chapter 25. We pray, Lord, that as we deal with what is a bit of a sobering topic, that you will help us to see what the riches are here and how we are to live in light of that. And we pray, Lord, that you help us to put aside the distractions that often clamor into for our attention, but just to listen to the words of Jesus. And we ask this in his name. Amen. Sometimes this parable, this passage, Matthew chapter 25, sometimes it's called a parable of the sheep and the goats. Just a quick word, it's actually not a parable. There is this picture of sheep and goats in verse 32 and verse 33. There's this very short picture, but the rest of it is actually a description. The rest of the passage that was read out for us is a factual account of what is going to happen on Judgment Day. And as we take a look at this passage, we're going to see three things. The first thing we see is the scope of God's judgment. We see the scope of judgment. Take a look at verse 31. It's going to be great if you have your Bibles open in front of you. Write down questions as they come up. Verse 31 says this, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people." Now the Son of Man there, that's Jesus, that's often how he refers to himself. And when he comes, he is going to be king. He sits there on his throne in heaven. His first act as king, one of the first acts he's going to do, is that he is going to be judge. That is what this king is going to do. And so as we look at the scope of his judgment, do you see who gets judged? Who it is that is judged in verse 32? Who gets judged? It's everyone. It's everyone. All nations. Now I'm just looking at the screen. We're one screen ahead. So if you want to jump backwards, it's actually all nations are going to be judged. Everyone is going to be judged by this king. Whether they're from Russia or from South Africa, whether they're Buddhists or Christians or atheists, there is no escape standing in front of this king Jesus. I was reading in the papers how some of the Russian athletes, how they'll try to get around the doping system, the doping test, the drug test. Some of them were doing all sorts of things to get around being tested for performance-enhancing drugs. And so there was this one guy who had been taking drugs, and before the race, he found out that there was going to be a drug test afterwards. And so what did he do? He disappeared. He nicked off from the stadium, ran out, he managed to escape that test. He didn't want to get caught. When it comes to the judgment of God, there is no escape. There is no getting around the system. Every one of us is going to be judged. Whether we're young or old, rich or poor, the religious, the non-religious, whatever it happens to be that is sitting on our passport. The doctor, the teacher, the accountant, the mum, our family and friends, even ourselves, everyone is going to be judged. And did you see that when it comes to judgment, there are only two categories. There's only two categories, two outcomes, either a sheep or a goat. Either a sheep or a goat. And I'm just going to say a quick word to Jack. The stars is where the, I just realized I didn't tell you that. The stars are where they go. Next slide. There are only two categories when it comes to the judgment of God. There is no third category. There is no middle ground. There is no cows, donkeys, or camels in this story. It's either you are a sheep or a goat. You're either on the right or on the left. Either you go to life or you go to death. Now, from what I understand in the Middle East, sheep and goats, they can actually look quite similar. They can sometimes be hard to tell apart because sheep, they're not just white. You know, they can be dark. They can be splotchy. They can be speckled. They can be both dark and light. Flocks can be mixed. I think I've got a picture on the slide just afterwards. It's sometimes hard to tell which one's a sheep, which one's a goat. And sometimes sheep and goats, they're actually in the same flock. And so they eat together. They sleep in the same place. They live together. But we know sheep and goats, they're not the same animals, are they? And so there comes times when the shepherd, he separates the sheep from the goats. And on Judgment Day, Jesus is going to do the same thing. He separates the sheep from the goats. He separates us into one of those two categories. Now, there's actually a truth here about judgment. If we just take a step back and think about this, there's a truth for us which is worth actually grasping. You see, people look the same. They look the same on the streets, in the office, in the shops. We do the same jobs. We live in the same areas. We come from the same backgrounds. But there is going to be a great separation. There's actually going to be a great divide where some are heading for life and some are heading for death. And that's sobering, isn't it? I said at the start that this is quite a heavy topic that we're covering today. It means that there are people that we know, people that we love, and some of them are going to life, but some of them are going to death. So do you see the first thing here? The scope of his judgment, all of us, everyone is going to come before this king. Everyone is going to be judged. The second thing we see, though, is the basis of God's judgment. We see the basis of his judgment. In that university exam that I was telling you about, I knew what questions were going to be asked. I knew them in advance. How about on judgment day? What question is God going to ask us? What is going to be the basis of his judgment? Let's pick it up in verse 34. Then the king, which is Jesus, then Jesus will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. Come, take the kingdom. And here's why he gives us the basis. Verse 35. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes. I was sick. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Do you see here the basis of judgment? Do you see the basis here? Who comes in? Who gets shut out? It depends on how they treat Jesus. It depends on how they treat this king. Because this is Jesus speaking here. The king says, Jesus says, I was hungry. I was thirsty. I was a stranger. I was. You can't miss it. It's actually talking about Jesus. Jesus was hungry and they fed him. Jesus was thirsty. They gave him something to drink. Jesus was a stranger. Jesus was naked and sick and in prison and they went to see him. The basis of God's judgment is how we treat this king. How we treat Jesus. And it's the same in verse 41. To those who are cursed, those who are told to go away, depart, those who are shut out, it's based on how they treat Jesus, how they treat the king. Jesus says, I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I needed clothes, I was sick, in prison, and you did nothing about it. How is it that these people are treating Jesus? Well, they ignore him, don't they? They have nothing to do with Jesus. And how many people around us fall into the same boat? On the day of judgment, God is going to ask us this question. How did you treat my king? How did you treat Jesus, my son? This morning, as we take a look at that basis, that's a good question for us to ask. How are you treating him? It's a big question, isn't it? But it's a question which matters. But did you see the surprise in the story? Maybe you were feeling it because the people in the story, they are surprised. They're actually a little bit confused. In verse 37, the ones who are invited in, the ones who are blessed, they ask, when? When, Lord? When did we do all of these things? When did we feed you? When did we give you something to drink? When did we invite you in and give you clothes and go and visit you? When did we do all this? And see what the king says in verse 40. I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. And again, it's the same with those who are cursed, those who are shut out of the kingdom. They say, when did we not do all those things? And the king says the same thing, doesn't he? Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Now, what is Jesus talking about here? Who are these people? Who are the least of these brothers of mine? Who are they? Now, I'm actually going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to get a bit of a congregational interaction. I actually want you to turn to the person next to you and just have a quick chat. Who is Jesus talking about here when he says, the least of these brothers of mine? Who do you think he's talking about? Have a quick chat for 30 seconds with the person next to you. Okay, I reckon that's about 30 seconds. Kind of hoping no one did a Google search right to cheat or anything like that. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up. This is not to, you know, embarrass anyone or whatever it happens to be. Who is Jesus talking about here? He's actually talking about Christians. That's who he's talking about. They are his brothers. He's talking about believers. He's talking about Christians. And so in Matthew chapter 12, for example, if we look through Matthew's gospel and the language that's used, Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is talking to a crowd. He's teaching a crowd. And his mother and his brothers, they're outside and they want to come and see him. They want to talk to him. And so somebody actually says to Jesus, they're outside, they want to talk to you. What does Jesus say to them? He says, who is my mother? And who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Do you see what Jesus is saying here? Who are his brother and sister? It's the one who does the will of his Father. He's talking about Christians. It's the same if you were to look at Matthew chapter 18, Matthew chapter 28. When Jesus uses this language of brothers, he's usually talking about Christians. And it's the same here in Matthew chapter 25. See, this passage is not a program of social justice. It's not actually talking about supporting world vision or doing good for refugees or humanity in general. That's sometimes how this passage is sometimes used, but that's actually not what Jesus is talking about. Now, those things, they're good things. The Bible tells us to do those things. But it's not what Matthew chapter 25 is talking about. This is what Jesus is saying. How you treat the king's people is actually how you treat the king. You see what that means? How you treat his people is actually a reflection of how you treat Jesus. It's the same thing. It's the same idea. You see, how can you say on one hand, how can you say that you love Jesus? How can you say that you love Christ if you don't love Christians? You know, it doesn't make sense. How can you do that? Yeah, you know, imagine for a moment that you came over to my house one time. You came over one evening, we were catching up, and you see me, and you're excited, you know, just imagine for a moment, and you give me a hug, or you give me a handshake, a big smile. And then Dawn comes along, my wife comes along. And you totally ignore her. And actually what's embarrassing, what's really awkward, is that she's right there, but you won't even look at her. And as we're catching up, we start chatting, and Chloe, our eldest daughter, she comes up, she wants to show you something. She's done this great painting at school, and she's really proud about it. And you tell her to go away. Get lost. And then Eva comes down the stairs, our youngest, and she falls over, she hits her head, she starts crying, and you go on as if nothing happened. And actually, if anything, it's a little bit annoying. What does that say if you do all those things? What does it actually say about the way that you treat me? You can't actually hate my family or ignore my family and at the same time actually say that you love me, can you? It doesn't make sense. You can't do that. Because how you treat my family is a reflection of how you treat me. And it's the same thing with Jesus. How can you love Jesus if you don't love his people? It doesn't make sense. When we serve, when we help, when we love a Christian believer, Jesus is saying, we are loving and helping and serving Christ. That is what's going on. And so what does that mean for us? It means loving the people here at Grace. It means loving the people here. It means that we care for them because they belong to Jesus. And notice, it's not love the brightest, the best, the smartest, the most popular people. It's not love the people who are easy to love. Who does Jesus tell us to love? It's the least of these brothers of mine. Not the best, it's the least. And I'm guessing everyone in between. It's the person who is new. That's the least of these brothers of mine. It's the person who hasn't been coming to church for a while. And so we give them a call up. We catch up with them. We encourage them to come to church. It's the person who is struggling with whatever it is in their life that they're actually struggling with. And so again, we want to meet up with them. We invest in them. It's the mum who is busy looking after the kids, maybe looking after the kids at church. And it's easy for us to be actually thinking, oh, they're okay. They're being surrounded by their kids. They're being looked after. Or maybe we're thinking they're too busy. too busy to actually have a conversation, but it's even more reason for us to go up to them and to welcome them in and to chat to them. And so when you go over to lunch, can you do that? Will you do that? That you're not just sitting with your mates, but you're looking out for maybe the parents, the mum who's sitting with their kids, especially if you're not a parent. Can you do that? To look after the least of these, my brothers. There's a lady that I know who actually has come to church a couple of times, but she can't get out much because often she's looking after a loved one that she actually has that responsibility for. And reading Matthew chapter 25, it reminded me that I actually need to get in touch with her. And so this last night, I actually did. I sent her a message, and it was encouraging that this is, I think, somebody who falls into that boat, the least of one of these brothers of mine. You know, often I can say to myself, I'm too busy, I've got too much on, there's always extra things to do in ministry, but that is who Jesus exactly is telling me to love. And gee, it was a great encouragement when she actually turned up to church this morning to the 9:30 service. You know, who is it that Jesus is telling us to love? You know, just to think 30 seconds, I'm sure we could come up with a list of all sorts of people. Who does God want you to love? Who is the least of your brothers and sisters that you can feed, that you can give drink to, that you can invite in, that you can love? Who is that person? We see the scope of judgment, and here we see the basis of judgment. It's how we treat the king, and it's how we treat the king's people. And our last point, and probably the most devastating of all the points actually that we've covered, is the finality of judgment, because it is devastating. The king says to the righteous, to those who respond to the king, he says to them in verse 34, he says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the beginning of creation." He says, here is a home, here is your final resting place, where the king, he will give you food and drink and rest, a place in God's kingdom. Come. But to those who ignore the king, to those who reject him, he says, "Depart from me, get out of my sight. You are cursed into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." And the picture here is one of hell. Eternal life, eternal punishment. And what's devastating is the finality of it. There is no coming back. There's no second chance. This is forever. This is final. And I think that's hard for us to grasp in a lot of ways. I think we always want to believe that in our heart of hearts, there's always going to be a second chance. There's always going to be another shot at responding. We want judgment, I think. We want it to be like a driving test. You know, when you go for your driving test, even if you fail, you can take it again. You can take it next week or maybe next month. You can take it as many times as you want. Somebody that I know took the driving test 13 times. 13 times before they finally passed. And I'm not sure if she passed because over those 13 times she got better at it, maybe. Maybe it's because she just wore the examiners down that they finally let her pass and just get through the system. But, you know, when it comes to driving, you can do that. You can sit the test again and again and again 13 times. And I suspect we think judgment is like that. Ah, there's another chance. There's another shot. Who knows? But God says here, we have all the chances that we need in this life. And if we don't take it, judgment is final. Yeah, this is devastating. This is not something that we laugh at. This is not something just to throw around. This is devastating that judgment is final. For my university exam, the lecturer gave us 108 questions. And this is what I actually did. We had 108 study papers, and I memorized every single one of them. Memorized every single one of those papers. For the exam, I was ready. I knew what was coming up. God here gives us a preview, a sneak peek at Judgment Day, so that we know what is coming up. And we can make sure that we are ready. We see here the scope of judgment, everyone standing in front of the king. We see here the basis of judgment, loving Jesus, loving his people. We see the finality of judgment, no more chances, it's final. And so can I maybe leave you with three questions that I think brings all of this, Matthew chapter 25, it brings it home. The first question is this. Do we believe in judgment for ourselves? Yeah, that's got to be the first question, isn't it? Do we believe in judgment for ourselves? We want to make sure that when Jesus comes, that we are ready. If you belong to Jesus, this is what you are saved from, and this is what you are saved to. You are saved from eternal punishment, from eternal fire, and you are saved to eternal life into God's kingdom. And so, cling to the King, cling to Jesus, who washes us of everything that deserves hell. And he says to us, on judgment day, if you cling to Jesus, if you put your trust in him, he says to us, come, take your inheritance, my kingdom, you belong. Come into my presence. But reject him, and he says those terrible words, out of my sight, into eternal fire. When Jesus comes again, are you ready? Do we believe in judgment for ourselves? Second question is this. Do we believe in judgment for others? For the people around us? For our friends? For our family? The people that we work with, that we see in the office tomorrow? The people who go to the schools that our kids go to, or play sport with our kids? Do we believe in judgment for others? You know, they might be lovely people. They've got 2.5 kids. Upright, middle-class people. Intelligent people. Successful people. People who are happy. But who haven't bothered to give a second thought to this King, to Jesus. Remember, there's only two outcomes. I was actually preaching this passage at Castle Cove a couple of months ago. When I was actually preparing this passage, that very week, on Tuesday of that week, my grandmother passed away. She was old, and this was quite sudden. It took us a bit by surprise. We got a phone call on the Monday. Saying that she's gone to hospital, and so my dad brought tickets to go back the very next morning. When he was on the plane in transit, we got another phone call to say that she had died. Now, as far as I know, she did not know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's between God and herself, but as far as I know, as far as I can see, these words here, they are not just intellectual, nice-to-know type things. This is real. This passage hits home. This is a serious passage for us to wrestle over, to cry over, to pray over. Now, I know that God is sovereign, and I know that he's just, and I know that he's gracious, and so I can trust God. But for those who are around me, to tell people about Jesus, it is urgent. It's urgent, isn't it? It's worth getting embarrassed about. It's worth getting embarrassed to tell people about Jesus, because this is big. It is worth giving up an hour or two, isn't it? To meet up with somebody, to tell them about Jesus, to read the Bible, it is worth it. Because to tell people about judgment, to tell people about this King, it's one of the most important things that we can do in life. Do we believe in judgment for others? And just lastly, really quickly, we've already touched on this last one as well. Do you love the people of Jesus? Remember what Jesus says, whatever you do for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do for me. And so this morning, who does Jesus want us to love for his sake? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Matthew chapter 25. Lord, we thank you that you are so gracious that you give us a sneak peek. You give us a preview to judgment day because you want us to be ready. You don't want us to be caught unprepared. We thank you, Lord, that even though we deserve eternal punishment, that you have done everything already in your Son so that you give us eternal life. Father, we pray that as we understand Matthew 25, help us to understand judgment and to understand what we have been saved from and what we've been saved to. Help us, Lord, to care about those around us, who it is that we can speak to about the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to see who it is that you want us to love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.